So let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you for the riches and gift of your word. Thank you that you give us so much. And we pray that as we hear your word written, so may we hear your living word, Jesus, speaking to us as he did then. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, straight talking from Jesus, no beating about the bush, no Anglican on the one hand or on the other hand. It's watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus in his take no prisoners mood at that point. Just by way of a contrast, as we think about that stark reality, I don't know how many of us remember the 1980s movie Wall Street. It's good, that one, not the terrible 2010 sequel. But there you go. Famous quote by the key character, the rather aptly named Gordon Gekko, who says at a company meeting at Teldar Paper, "The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA." Well, not many people are as explicit about their underlying philosophy of materialism that underpins our life, but a philosophy that demands ever-increasing growth to sustain us, well, perhaps one word for it is greed. Greed is good? Well, no. We've already heard Jesus say that it isn't. He says, beware. Greed is a drug, a poison that destroys the addicts who live enslaved by it. Well, there you go. I'm struck by the way that Jesus meets with an unhappy brother about an inheritance, and the parable of the rich fool, that those two pieces are held together by the theme of death. There you go, end of July, you thought you'd come in for a happy, relaxed summer service, and we've gone straight to the point about death. That this life is not all that there is, and it will end on this earth. And there are other things even more important. Here Jesus meets one real person who has been bereaved, and then the character in his parable's story dies. In both situations, Jesus warns us and says, greed is dangerous, watch out, beware. And he tells us very clearly to guard our lives from the curse of greed. First of all, Jesus decides to stay out of a family feud over inheritance. A man comes to Jesus, Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Whoa, you must be kidding." No, he replies, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" But that's how I picture Jesus, this kind of somewhat stressed and possibly irate brother of somebody else. And Jesus says, "Oh, no, thank you. I am not interested in getting involved in this particular fight." Wise move by Jesus. It's not always the case in disagreements over inheritance, but here Jesus seems to see greed as the underlying issue, because that's what he goes on to warn us about. And that's the first thing we learn about greed, is that it damages relationships. Two brothers are facing a tragedy. They've been bereaved. Someone has died. We don't know who. And this is a time when the brothers should be supporting each other. Instead, they are fighting over who gets what and how much. Rings true today, sadly. I remember, was it a year or two ago, more longer, the estate of the late Johnny Hallyday here in France, with the children and the spouse, and it's in the courts and the media and the circus that surrounds that. The richest man in the world, Stanley Ho, casino magnate in Macau, when he died, well, you can imagine the scenes over that inheritance. There is a greed that says, I deserve more than you. Someone has to win in this dispute, and I want to make sure that it's me. And that kind of greed is what damages relationships. You have to lose so that I can win. And the parable that Jesus tells us to follow on from that, we've seen greed damaging relationships. Really, the parable tells us that greed blinds us, especially to the needs of others. Blinds us to the needs of others, not just in our inheritance, but as a more general curse. I mean, the person in the parable sounds entirely self-centered. Luke 12, verse 17. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Oops. Myself, what shall I do? He is completely self-absorbed. No room in his world for giving, sharing, or the needs of others. You know, rarely do I use global billionaires as good examples, but here I must. There's some examples of people like Bill Gates with his foundations and others who realize that actually there's more than just having this stuff. It's how can it be used for the good of others? But not here. Greed has blinded this person in the story to the needs of anyone else but his own. It's not about prudence. It's not about carefully providing. It's about me. Eat, drink, be merry. Greed also blinds us, of course, not just to others, but to our own stark reality. This person is in fantasy world. He seems to think that he runs the universe. I'll do this, then I'll do that, and I've got all these years to eat, drink, and be merry. No, you don't. Life is fragile and is designed to be lived in dependence and trust on the God who made us and sustains us and who cares for us. I mean, the pandemic, if nothing else, teaches us this. It's got to show us that. I had plans. Still have plans. And you think, yeah, right. There is a provisionality now built into all we're doing. And that may be, I say it carefully, there's elements in that that is a good thing. Not that isn't, don't get me wrong. But there's just something about we realize that we are finite, fragile human beings. Even our best plans, our good plans, have to be provisional. But the rich fool here, excuse me, he has declared independence. He says, I have so much. I am secure. No, you're not. Of course, behind it lies the curse of idolatry. We see in the New Testament the same Greek word for greed or covetousness in Luke 12 as in Colossians 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Greed is not necessarily just about more stuff. In today, of course, it can be about better stuff. I mean, that's me. I wouldn't claim to be greedy or admit to being greedy, but I have simple tastes. It's just they're expensive. I mean, the Apple Corporation became the biggest company in the world at one stage by selling the coolest toys. What's about the most stuff? It was about the best stuff. Rejoice when your spouse bans the word upgrade, as mine has done. Even trying to bribe her with the cast-off old iPhone won't work. She is my conscience. I mean, greed blinds us to relationships, to the needs of others, to reality. It also distorts our thinking. The rich fool is described as a fool. The word there for fool means without thought. Someone without thought. But interestingly, it isn't that this person didn't think. This guy thinks a lot. He makes plans. He sits down. He thinks and thinks and thinks. In his mind, his time was full. He was going to do this, he was going to do that. He made plans. He was thinking all right, but not about the really important things in life. He thought about what he had and how to keep it safe and use it for himself and his own pleasure. He gets a better harvest than expected. He doesn't panic. He's not going to waste it. He's not going to flood the market and reduce the price. No, he does his sums. He gets out his calculator. He realizes it's worth building a huge storage mountain. That's what he's going to do. So he's done plenty of thinking. But he's not thinking about the really important things. How to give, how to share, how to bless others, how to use what he has in the best possible way, and in a way that counts for eternity. He's not thinking about the warnings from Jesus about storing up treasure in heaven, or even Jesus' striking truth that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Words not recorded for him in any of the four Gospels, yet quoted as his words in Acts. You know one definition of failure that I came across the other week? Failure is being successful at the things that don't matter. Failure is being successful at the things that don't matter. Success demands we think very carefully about what matters to God. Because that's the outcome of all this person's apparent success. God's verdict, his epitaph, you fool. Sometimes in training courses and management development, in fact, it happens in part of the Church of England selection process for ordination. Vivian's not here. I would have asked her if they still do it, but I think they do. You are asked to say, what would you like your epitaph to read? And how do you get to that point? You kind of work back from your epitaph. Not many people would like the epitaph, you fool. I resist the temptation at this point to quote humorous epitaphs that I've known, but I won't do that because I'm above that. No. But you fool, what a verdict on a life. What an epitaph. Well, to conclude, two antidotes to this strange disease of greed, just very briefly. I'll no doubt have preached on them and will preach on them at other times. Two things that help us overcome this curse, this blight of greed. The first is contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we take nothing out of it. Interestingly there too, the reality of death. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you want gain or riches, godliness with contentment is a good place to find it. Deliberately and consciously and determinedly cultivate an attitude of contentment. That we don't look for well-being in a sense of more stuff or better stuff. No, we are content. First, contentment. Secondly, generosity. Believe those words of Jesus. There is more blessed to give than to receive. So I kind of give stuff away. It's one of the great ways of deflating the idol of greed is just kind of, you stick a pin in it when you actually give to a real need. Whether it's to our mission partners or people that you know, or just being like generous with stuff. How you use it, how you lend it, how you share it. Great way to overcome the demons of greed. So watch out, says Jesus, guard against the evil of greed. And two helps in that, contentment and generosity. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the freedom from greed that you desire from us, from things that would corrode our lives and damage them. Thank you for the invitation to know genuine contentment in you and what you give us, and the opportunities that generosity brings to bless others, to store up treasure in heaven, and to be part of your purposes on this earth. We pray that you will guide us in this day by day, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.